Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Praying Together. You are studying Lesson 5, Pray and Expect Supernatural Results. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
Redemption, the subject of Christianity and the idea behind it all, was God redeeming man back into himself and back into full, total, complete relationship with himself. But religion holds God way up here and man way down here, and man struggle to ever come to a place where he can satisfy God with man's goodness. Forget it. You ain't ever going to be able to do that. No, Jesus took care of all of that, and God has reconciled man to himself and has accepted him on an equal basis with him. So how could that be? I don't know, but aren't you glad that he did? Amen. It's like a commoner in the street that the king calls into court and points his scepter of reception at him and said, I now call this man my adopted child, and what's mine is his, and what's his is mine. And when he says something, you better listen to him, because his righteousness is of me. And that's what God has done in Christianity. Boy, it just blows you away, doesn't it? Father, we thank you and praise you today. We ask you to open up the eyes of our understanding, open our thinking, Lord. We ask you to anoint our minds and our spirits and our bodies today on this broadcast so that we can see more into your marvelous light, and we praise you and thank you for it, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and we receive. Amen. Let's go back where we were yesterday in our study of prayer. We've been studying prayer that changes things. We've looked at the prayer of faith. We've looked at the prayer of agreement. We've looked at prayer of binding, loosing, intercession, givings of thanks, praise, and worship. And we by no means covered all that there is to cover in all these things. It's just next to impossible to do it in this kind of setting because we're, you know, our time is limited and so forth and so on. What we're doing on this broadcast is encouraging you and planting seeds in your mind and in your thinking and giving you a basic outline to continue your study of these subjects on all the things that we cover on this broadcast. Amen. So, yesterday when we closed, we were talking about praying for the ministry and what the Apostle Paul requested in the way of prayer. We talked about united prayer. And, of course, in praying for a minister of the gospel, great amount of the time that should be taken care of in united prayer. Let's go look again at that in the book of Acts. You remember we took that prayer as our example there where that whole congregation came together when Peter and John came back to their own company after being threatened by the council of the Jews and said, don't you preach in the name of Jesus out there in the streets anymore. Don't do that. That you stop that. Even though there has been a mighty miracle done, even though we see that there's a miracle done here, you don't do that anymore. Now, I want you to remember that point right there, because in a moment we're going to refer to that again, and I want you to remember and remember what kind of mindset these religious people were in. Then they went back to their company, they reported everything, and that whole congregation prayed one prayer. They lifted their voice. They all prayed. But they prayed in one accord. I cannot help but believe that they took the time, along with the apostles, to decide what to pray. Because they not only prayed in one accord, they prayed specific things from God's Word. They prayed and they praised God in His creative power, in His mighty wondrous power. And then they put a petition forth before God and said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They had been taught, they realized that the word is where the power was. Two things, the word of God and the name of Jesus. That mighty name and power in that name, praise God. And so instead of crying and begging and rehearsing the problem, they said, Lord, we want you to behold their threatenings, but grant your servants anointing to preach the word. Grant them that boldness to preach the word. So what was the answer to the threatening? What was the answer to having their rights violated? What was the answer to being called upon the scene? What was the answer to passing a law that you can't preach in the street anymore? Give them boldness to preach. No, I didn't say, oh, you know, didn't change the laws. No. Give them boldness. Anoint them to preach and follow it with signs and wonders. They gave that petition, and then they interceded for the lost. They interceded for the sick. They interceded and asked God to move in their behalf. They didn't care what that council did. They paid little or no attention to that. They paid little or no attention to the problems. That wasn't what they were praying about. Oh, God, if you don't intercede, we're going to lose our right to preach. They'd already lost that. But they preached anyway. Amen. They moved under the power and the anointing of God. No government could stop. So, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. Then over in the 5th chapter, you read in the 12th verse, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, even down to the point of wherever Peter walked, even people got as close to him as his shadow. Dear Lord, the power of God was so strong, it'd fall on people, were being healed in the street. It said people gathered up, people from cities all around Jerusalem, what was called the Decapolis, which was 10 cities around there, they hauled a man out there in the streets, man. You probably couldn't even get to the church. And the people got healed in the street. People got saved. The Bible said when they preached the word, they got saved by the thousands. Praise God. Well, that their whole prayer was not in the form of poor old us, we're just being so mistreated. The whole thing was in the line with anoint your word, fill their mouths with the word of God, and fill their hands with the anointing of God. And God did it. Now, notice that coming through in the prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed. You remember he prayed in 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter and the 8th verse, talking about praise. Listen to this now. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength. The pressure was more than we had in our own strength to stand against it. Insomuch that we despaired of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver. He didn't pray, oh, get us out of trouble. Oh, you know the trouble's so bad. I like so much of our prayers, particularly in church. Dear God, we pray some of the biggest messes in church anybody ever heard. Oh, God, we're going down the drain. Oh, Lord, we ain't going to make it. Oh, God, the government's so bad. Oh, you know, and just carry on. Oh, Sister Doodad's going to die if you don't intervene. Oh, yeah, she's going to die. And then everybody on the telephone calling everybody, oh, we found out church this morning, Sister Doodad's going to die. Didn't have anything to do with prayer. She's just going to die. Well, here he said, he will yet deliver us, you also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. The gift bestowed upon us, the gift of deliverance, the gift of the anointing, of the power, of the preaching of the word, he said, is on me because you people are praying for me. He didn't say it was on me because I'm an apostle. He didn't say it was on me because I got the lucky ticket. He said it's on me because people are praying for me, hallelujah, and holding me up. Now, we won't take time to read all of these others. We read them yesterday and the day before. But he called it for the church in Ephesus to pray that he be given utterance in the Holy Ghost, that I speak the word boldly as I speak, and that the doors of that utterance be open. See, his dependence on the prayers of the people to keep him bold, keep him strong, keep him in the power of the living God, overcoming all this junk that the devil throwing at him everywhere he went, trying to stop the ministry. Now then, 2 Thessalonians 3, and let's look at something here that is very, very revealing. I'm going to show you some things right here that the Lord showed me about our own churches, about our own ministries and so forth. Third chapter, 2 Thessalonians. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. He didn't say, brethren, pray for me that the Jews will get off my back. Oh, brethren, pray for me that the devil will let me alone. No, he said, you pray for me that the word of God goes forth. Why? He sent his word and it healed him. It was the word of God coming out of Jesus' mouth that bound Satan. And the word of the Lord is what set people free. Jesus said, I'm anointed to preach the gospel. You go and preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe. And so he went with them, working with and confirming the word with signs following. Praise God, man. Can you see what the key is? It's the word. The word and the boldness and the anointing to preach it so that the signs follow. Now listen carefully. That the word of the Lord, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You pray that the word have free course and that it be full of God's glory. That's represented by the Holy Spirit, which is the anointing. And it is the anointing on God's word that destroys the yoke. Now, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. All right, now let's get on to something. Here is a key. Man, I'm telling you, he just said a mouthful. I talked to a man that works with a ministry all over the North American continent. I mean, one of the travelingest men I ever heard of in my life. Friend of mine, close friend of mine. Love him. He's got one of the finest, most anointed ministries anywhere in this country. A whole lot of his ministry is ministering in schools and sharing with those kids and then having rallies at night so that they can go ahead and preach in the name of Jesus because it gets limited in a lot of those schools, and a whole lot of that's breaking down. There are people that are just fed up with all of this mess about not being able to talk about Jesus. You can talk about every other hootin' nanny in school you want to, but the most famous man in history, you can't talk about him, but you can't always shut this fella up. And they're getting our teenage kids saved by the thousands. I'm talking the thousands. And so a fellow worked with him. I was talking to him last night. And I said, I want to ask you something. They'd just been up in the northwestern part of the country for a while. I said, how was it up there? How were your meetings up there? He said, well, we had some hard rows to hoe up there. But he said, boy, we got some results too. They had something like in one place where they went. They had a meeting in the school and then a rally that night. They had over 100 kids got saved in the meeting in school, and they had over 100 got saved in the rally. Man, they had 200 kids saved in that one day. Isn't that great? Oh, glory be to Jesus. I said, well, what's the hard road to hoe? I mean, who's giving you the hard time? The kids? Oh, no, he said, it's not the kids. He said, those kids flock around you like a bunch of little birds. He said, they're so hungry for God. He said, they're so hungry for reality. He said, just flock around you. I said, is it the teachers giving you trouble? He said, no, not really. He said, they did for a while, but actually, he said, there's a lot of teachers that are calling us that are saying, hey, man, dear God, I mean, don't tell nobody I called and invited you, but could y'all come in here and could y'all come have one of these meetings in this school? We got to have you. I said, well, who's the trouble? He said, the pastors of the local churches. I said, what? He said, the pastors of the local churches. I said, why are they so much trouble? Now, listen, unreasonable men. There's another way you can translate that. Deliver us from men who don't think straight. Religion will warp your thinking. If you get locked up inside a religious capsule, things start looking right that are wrong, and things start looking wrong that are right, and you get to looking at things through religion. The word religion means return to bondage. You can make a religion out of sitting on this podium if you wanted to. If you sat on that podium every Saturday morning at 8 from 8:30 till 11, and you sat there and you thought God would hear you because you sat on that podium and you thought God was hanging by his knees on one of those light rods up there, and you did that, that's your religion, brother. And it ain't going to do nothing but send you to hell, but it's a religion. You've come into bondage to that, okay? There's been a religion made out of Christianity. By the Holy Ghost one afternoon in intercessory prayer, I called it Christianism. And I stopped and I thought, what? The Lord said, yeah, Buddhism, Christianism, communism. He said those isms are trouble, and the worst one of them of all is Christianism. Religion made out of Christianity instead of walking in the things of God and with Him in reality as a family. And so, anyway, I said, what are you talking about? Now, compare this, what he said, compare this to what happened to Jesus, you remember, in the synagogue when he straightened this woman out that had been bowed over, Satan had bound. Satan had bound this woman all those years, 18 years she'd been bound over. Jesus said, daughter, thou art loosed from this infirmity. The guy that was a head of the synagogue did not major on this woman being made free and Satan losing a battle. His whole mind set an idea was, you did it on the wrong day. What difference did that make? None to anybody that's thinking right. He's not thinking right. And those are the men that Paul had more trouble with than anybody, are these unreasonable or men that are thinking wrongly. Now, back to my friend ministering to the children. I said, what in the world are you having trouble out of the local pastors for? Well, he said this, there's some of them, not all of them, but there's some of them, you'd be surprised which ones they are. There's some of them say, well, we're not too sure where those kids will go to church after they get saved. Well, I know where I hope they don't go.
Oh, yeah, Brother Copeland, I tell you, that's the way I feel about it. These blam, 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 blam pastors, I tell you, it's them stupid pastors. It's them dumb pastors.
Wait just a minute, old hoss. Wait a minute before you get up and go to roaring. You know what's the matter? Congregations are not praying for them. Congregations are not holding up the Word of God and saying, oh God, We give you praise for our pastor. God, we hold him up to you for boldness of the word, to speak the word with boldness and revelation and power, and that it be filled with glory, your glory, to save and to heal and to deliver and to baptize in the Holy Ghost, to free our schools and free our government and to fill the streets with the glories of God. Yeah, that come home to rest on a different perch than what you thought it was going to, didn't it? And the problem of it here is the people have become just as unreasonable as the pastor, because you got a chicken and egg situation, you know, which is first. Here you got people not praying for the pastor, so the pastor's not preaching the word, and he's preaching, you know, ideas and thoughts and seminary rigmarole and all that. And social sermons and everything else you can think. I'm not talking about all old historic churches either. I'm talking about some men that know better. And some men say, well, I'll tell you what, I preached that faith stuff for a little while here, but my God, you know, it's gotten where it don't look like it's working. Look like I'm running more people off than I am bringing in. So he goes to getting unreasonable. He's not reasoning according to God. He's reasoning according to the world, and he's withdrawing and getting inside that religious cocoon. Wrap up in there. Cut off from the outside world. Not separated from the world. Segregated from the world. There's a difference. I'm separated from the world. Man, I don't need the world's ideas. I don't need their enjoyment. I don't need their life. But I'm not segregated from them. I'm separate from them. I can stand right in the middle of thousands of them and listen to them hoop and holler and cuss and spit and drink and smoke and all that. I don't like that smoke business, but nonetheless, I mean, I can stand right there in the middle of them, you know, and just smile and share the word of God with them, and still just like Jesus, laugh with them and everything else, instead of knocking them in the head and become segregated from them and lock off up on my little hut up there on the mountaintop. Oh yes, this is the way we do it, and you know, we are everything, and we and we and me and we and me and we and me. If I'm not preaching the word to that congregation, and they're not praying for me, and if they're not praying for me, I'm not preaching the word. And if I'm not preaching the word, they ain't praying for me. Somebody got to stop that cycle. And so what happens? I'm telling you, start praying for your pastors. I'm telling you, hold up for them to be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. And you may be one of those men or women that they need to be delivered from. So analyze your own life. Analyze your own prayer life. Analyze the way you pray. Analyze what you pray. Is all your prayer life spent just dealing with, you know, me and mine and don't we shine? I mean, you know, are you really talking to God? Are you just mouthing off a bunch of junk? My. Well, it, you know, judgment starts at the household of God, and it's judging time. Not time for God to judge us, time for us to judge ourselves and take a good, long, strong look at what we have to deal with here in the name of Jesus. My hope I've helped you today. I hope this comes home strong to you. Don't catch yourself being like that where outreach and power and anointing is concerned. Well, bless God, we ain't having none of that come into our church. Well, I don't doubt it. My. Like the guy said, well, we don't much believe in that healing in our church. Brother Hagin said, well, I wouldn't worry about it. You won't be bothered with it. That's for the believer, not the unbeliever. But that's wicked and unreasonable kind of thinking, see? Father, I pray for this television audience. I prayed at the beginning of it, to open the eyes of our understanding. Father, I pray that this has shaken the very walls in homes and churches, wherever this is being heard. I pray that it shake people right down to their soles of their feet and to the tips of their heads, that we wake up and quit being stupid and unreasonable. But the Bible says in Romans 12 to think soberly. Think soberly as God has given unto every man the measure of faith. And we start thinking faith thoughts. Sober, solemn prayer thoughts for boldness and anointing and outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next series.